It is 6:10 p.m. I call the meeting to order. This is the regular meeting of the Hillsborough City School District on April 17th, 2024. And I am thrilled to share that APG just announced that the recipient of the 2024 Community Care Award is Luann Carlomagno.
All of you.
Thank you for all involved, our decoys, our planners, and we are so excited to be able to celebrate you for the next couple of months and the best excuse ever to have you back here in our district, in our town, to celebrate you in the fall. So congratulations. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, members of the public. And let's begin with the salute to the flag, item 1.1. Please rise and face the corner. Ready, begin.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 1.2, approval of the agenda. Trustees, any updates to the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Don, second by Gilbert. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Item 1.3, approval of the minutes from March 12th and March 28th, 2024. Trustees, any corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, any motion?
I move to approve the minutes, both minutes.
Thank you.
And I'll second.
Motion by Don, second by Gilbert. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Item 2, regular reports. 2.1, Hillsborough Teachers Association, Alec McKenzie.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
So first on my list here is to also send an official congratulations to Luann from HTA. I'm sure all of our members are going to be super thrilled to hear the news, and so we send you heartfelt congratulations on the news we got tonight. Fun surprise. I referenced this in my report last month, but HTA and the district had settled on a tentative agreement a month ago, and I just wanted to let everybody know publicly that HTA has voted to ratify that contract. Almost overwhelmingly, so that was terrific. Really a huge percentage voting and voting yes on that. So that was really heartening with all the work that our negotiators did, all the hours on both sides that were put in to get that going. So a lot of appreciation there. People wanted me to send appreciation to both Keith and Lisa at Crocker because this is the week, as many of you know, that our eighth graders are gone on the DC trip. And coordinating that and coordinating everybody left behind who's covering classes and yard duties, and Keith is out there in the morning doing traffic patrol, and everybody's pitching in, and so people wanted me to make sure and give appreciation to Keith and Lisa and everybody who's helping out during the DC trip. And then lastly, HTA really wants to express a lot of appreciation to our paraeducators. We're all getting ready right now to dive into those testing weeks that are coming up pretty soon, state testing, and our paraeducators at all four of our sites really jump in and take the reins and perform such a valuable job helping out kids who may have different testing accommodations and things, who need things read to them or need extra help or things like that, and our paraeducators all throughout the district really help us with that. So we wanted to give a thanks in advance for all that they're working with. And that's all I have this month.
Thank you so much, Alec. Item 2.2, CSEAD.
Hi.
Hi.
Luann, congratulations from all of CSEA and all the classified employees. We're so happy. We're also super happy with our contract, and thank you very, very much. We appreciate our negotiators. They worked really hard to do this, as did the district. And we're looking forward to a good contract. So thank you. We are the paras. I'm going to make a little comment and thank HTA for that shout out for the paraeducators, because it has been such a fun year. I can really only perfectly speak for Crocker, but we're really enjoying supporting the kids. It is sort of a labor of love, even though, you know, if we didn't get paid, we couldn't do it. But we really do enjoy the time that we get to spend with these kids, and we'd love to see their progress. The kids that have a lot of trouble and the kids who only have a tiny bit of trouble. It's so fun. So thank you for that. And we're fortunate to be in a district that can have paraeducators to do the testing and all that. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Dee. Thank you for all you do. 2.3 APG, Jamie.
Okay, well, you all know our big news that we've been keeping a secret. It's out of the bag, so we are just so thrilled for you, Luann, and no one more deserving, so we are thrilled to give you that honor. And other than with APG, we've been planning this. Took a lot of back and forth trying to make sure you weren't in on the surprise. We have one more reveal for our Citizen of the Year, which will be announced once we reveal that to the Citizen of the Year. And we have a speaker coming up on April 23rd about social emotional learning at home. And I think it sounds like it's a great topic, and looking forward to having that soon. And it will be in here in this room, 6:30 to 8.
Thank you, Jamie. 2.4 HSF, Cindy.
So HSF had our big donor recognition event for the Scholar Circle families on Monday at the Cole Mansion, and we had a huge pivot because we learned on Wednesday afternoon that our confirmed speaker, Arianna Huffington, could no longer make it. She had a personal emergency. But thanks to the mayor and to our chef, we got Larry Bear, CEO of the Giants, and Hunter Pence, former Giants, and it was fantastic, and we're hearing really great feedback, and I think a lot of us are still on a high from that. But in the good news front, also with our fundraising, we're over $4 million. I think we're now at $4.2 million total raised, which is amazing. Thank you to everyone. Everyone in the community and everyone who donated. We are still focused on participation. Our elementary schools, I think, all are close to 85-86%, and Crocker's at 75%, the last number I saw, and we're gonna focus on participation through the end of the year. We have a text-a-thon coming up on May 7th. Two more events coming up, one on March 1st at the Carolands Mansion. This is for our Leadership Circle donors. This is the new level that we established this year for 15,000 and above. We have about 70 families who have donated at that level, and we're gonna do an event at the Carolands with a lovely dinner and entertainment from a magician mentalist, Kevin Blake. And then on May 5th, the fun run. So we launched our fun run registration this week. We'll have signs in the back of the room as people walk out if you want to put them up on the lawn, and just pushing on through registration. I think that's it.
Thank you, Cindy. Item 2.5, Superintendent's Report. All right. Luann.
These guys are going to pay. They've been my little sneaks with between Keith and Leilani. Thank you for the honor. I just don't even know what to say. To follow in the footsteps of those who've received community care awards, Christy, Larry, it's just amazing. I just, you know, Tony, who scurried away. Total honor. Thank you. Just want to share that the HSF event was fabulous. I'm still like beaming from it. And I loved that, you know, I met Larry Bear when we first walked in with Mayor Krolik, who, you know, was instrumental in having him there. And he's such an advocate for public education. It just was wonderful. Having attended Lowell himself and Cal, and, you know, same with Hunter Pence. He was so genuine and just really honoring public education. So it turned out to be just a fantastic evening, and the food was, couldn't beat it. So just thank you for your efforts, and I'm just so happy for Alicia that it all worked out in the end. It was a really stressful 48 hours, so yay to that. And then just a couple updates. Measure H, our West multipurpose room, everything is, you know, full speed ahead. Thank you to the educators and parents who really have taken the time to be a part of that. There's a lot of moving parts, of course, when constructing such a giant building. We are still working on Crocker, And we've come down to a couple of designs that are both excellent. And to make a decision regarding which one we want has been really, really challenging. So we're meeting with the Crocker facilities team again on April 29th. And it's complicated because there's pros and cons to each. And so we think that having that meeting will give us an opportunity to come back to our facilities team to then make a recommendation to the board. It's complicated. So stay tuned for those updates. Also, an enrollment update. So we continue to have little fluctuations in enrollment. We still have a lower enrollment at kindergarten than we've had in the past. One of the things I want to remind everybody about is that we did do a demographic study, and that should be coming to us the end of April, mid-May, somewhere in those 2 to 3 week span. And I anticipate when we do receive that report that we'll likely have a board study session, but I'll work with President Olaf to decide how we want to move forward in presenting the results of that demographic study. We would have the demographer come and present the results to that study, so stay tuned for that. We've been doing looking at staffing at each of our sites and where our teachers are going to be their placements for next year, so all of that happens in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And I think that, again, a lot of moving parts, but our principals have been on top of that, as have our educators. A lot of collaboration and trying to figure out all the logistics for the beginning of the new school year. Just want to shout out that this happens to be Arab American Heritage Month and Autism Acceptance Month. And I really want to shout out to our IDEA parents and leads. If you get on their Instagram page, they really do a fantastic job of recognizing just diversity in our our community, inclusion, belonging. And I love with Autism Acceptance Month is really paying attention to how we support our neurodiverse students across our district. And it's an honor to do that. And, you know, we learn as educators, too. Every year we learn more about how to support our neurodiverse learners. And so just, you know, happy to support that. And again, IDEA has really played an integral role in helping us as a district recognize just the diversity we have in our community. So that's fantastic. I want to do a shout out to our incoming superintendent, Anna D'Arce, who is going to be recognized tomorrow night as a Region 5 AXA awardee. So AXA is the organization that administrators belong to. And Anna, in Region 5, and that's like San Mateo County, it's San Francisco, she is actually receiving the award for the Central Office Assistant Superintendent of Pre-K 8 schools in San Francisco Unified. So it's a big honor. It's a recognition that I'm sure she well deserves. And so the board and I will be there. I think maybe Matthew, you might be attending. We have others in San Mateo County. John Baker, superintendent at Redwood City, is going to be recognized. So cheers to Anna. And I think it's a really wonderful recognition for her. And then our assessed property values. Dun, 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 dun. They're improving. They're still not grand. 4.23 our assessed property values as of earlier this week. So you can kind of see it's the aqua blue line. So we still have a ways to go. And interestingly, I'll be curious what trends at the end of the year, because we've noticed in the past that we always end up in about the same place when the county assessor, you know, reevaluates and takes everything into consideration. So we'll see where that ends up going. But we're at 4.23% right now. And I think that's it.
Thank you. Any trustees have comments? Don.
Thanks. I have two comments. Actually, one is just on the success values. My understanding is the county has gotten more accurate in the last few years than. There used to be some big changes at the very last month, and they've tried to stop doing that and push those earlier in the year. And that's rather significant this time, because the current trend is among the lowest that we've had in the last 5 years. But the last one that was this low had a big jump at the end. And I'm not sure what to expect, but in some ways I don't expect a big jump at the end. So we'll have to see. I mean, maybe that's not true, but. we should be cautious about where these numbers are on that topic. I have another one, but maybe
I'll let Gilbert go.
No. Okay. Our superintendent brought up the Crocker NPR and the Facilities Committee, and I thought if I could take the indulgence of the board to add a little more color to a recent meeting there. So Trustee Wong Chen and I are the two trustees on the Facilities Committee. We also have Larry Raffo, Ron Russo, Joyce Shen, and our superintendent, and another Tracy's here.
She's not here.
Okay. In any case, so we've met regularly every 2 or 3 weeks, and we're working on kind of organizing the bond and construction. And the board as a whole, of course, is the responsible party for everything that we do here. But, you know, we appreciate that trust and to the sort of dig into the details and make some decisions. And the Crocker NPR, I guess I want to report to the board that the Facilities Committee had a meeting recently in the last couple of days where the goal was that the architects had delivered two excellent designs for the possible Crocker NPR. And they're both great. Either one will work fine. Crocker will be, you know, fantastically improved with this wonderful building. And the goal of the meeting was for the Facilities Committee to choose one, for the architect to allow them to continue with just one of them. And then we would recommend that to the board. Here's the design we recommend. And just to be blunt, we failed to come to a choice. So that was not expected by us. And it was an interesting, we discussed back and forth and there were pros and cons to both choices. And each of us tried to convince the other and we really couldn't make progress. And so we then got into a conversation about what to do next when we haven't made a choice, when a choice has to be made. And just to throw it out there, one option that was considered was to throw it to you guys. So we could have had a study session and we could have presented the possible designs and the pros and cons and in some sense had the different constituencies argue for, try to persuade you, the other three of you, Gilbert and Greg and Kim, to say, which choice would you make? Because in the end, it is your responsibility. But we concluded that that would mean that the committee was not doing its job of making a decision and giving you a recommendation. And so we are continuing to have additional committee meetings before we get there. But I wanted to throw that out there just to let you know the current status and solicit any comments in case anyone has any of you trustees have some thoughts about where the committee is and what they've decided to do next. Thank you.
Do any trustees have a comment back to Don about what he shared? And then Gilbert, I know you have a comment on the regular report. Are you okay holding for that first? Okay, thank you.
I do. Just one thing, Don. If the committee is unable to come to a consensus and you delegate that to the board because we're the ultimate decision maker, I would not consider that a failure of the committee. It's just you have two very strong, diverse opinions. And so you come to the, well, think of it this way. You come to the board with two recommendations. So.
Yeah, I would also not use the word the committee failed to do its job. I would say that we have a very talented architectural firm we're working with, which has many innovative and creative ideas, which we are very fortunate to have. And we also have people who have opinions who advocate for their opinions, just like we tell our students to. And so we have the blessing of choice. And I would have no problem having it come back to us.
Done.
Maybe to put one more wrinkle on the thought there. The question, so the committee and the members of the committee have spent hours and hours and hours diving deep into all these details. And the question is sort of, is it reasonable for the board to have, you know, an hour study session and then in public under pressure come to a final decision that was going to, you know, affect Crocker for decades? And maybe that was asking too much in an unfair way.
This reminds me a little bit of what I've heard, sort of the superintendent search process was similar to where a recommendation of two top finalists was brought to the board to make that decision. And the thought was
this whole interview process has gone on, and you have context and depth, and you know, to bring it for a quick decision or even a study session. I agree, Don, that your committee has invested so much time and has all of the pros and cons, and there's context and layers to it. So I think my hope would be you could come to the board with a, here is the best of the two. Maybe there's room for you to find consensus at your next meeting. But of course, we'd be open to both. Any other comments?
I would just say we are trying our best to narrow it down and make it easier for you all. I think that the upshot is that it might take a little bit longer, and we're trying to stick to the schedule so we can break ground in the summer of 2025. But that really depends on the DSA. But I think that we all were of the mind that it's such an important decision, we didn't want to rush it. This is something that will affect our community in perpetuity. So we want to make considered and smart decisions.
Thank you. And thank you for being so thoughtful about the process. Any other comments about the NPR decision? Okay, Gilbert, did you want to share a comment on the regular reports?
Sure. I want to take this a few minutes to recognize the work of the HSF board and their volunteers. I'm blown away by the amount of funds and donations they've received thus far. It's a big number. I sit through and have the opportunity to watch them in operation and in action, and you know, they have a spirit of inclusiveness, a spirit of generosity, and a spirit of fun. And I think that, for me, makes it one of the joyful things I get to do each month. I would also say that I would like to congratulate them, even though I was unable to attend their Scholar Circle event. I will say that I heard good things, and it's a quality event. And I will also say that when you get someone from a graduate from Lowell and Cal, you will only get quality. So anyway, I just want to recognize that.
Do any trustees have any additional comments on tonight's reports? Do any members of the public have a comment on any of the regular reports you've heard so far tonight? Seeing none, let's move to item 3.1, our negotiations update with HCSD lead negotiator, Greg Dennis.
Thank you. We ratified both agreements with the associations at a special meeting a week or so ago, but we thought it was important to report out quickly at a regular meeting. So it's in the regular meeting minutes, and there's more people attending real briefly what those settlements are. I know I represent the team and probably both parties to say both negotiations, we continued our record of our successful collaboration and successful outcomes, and that's been going on for, I was trying to figure it out, it's well over a decade now, maybe approaching two, I'm not sure, which is an incredible run. You guys know what I do for a living, and I don't get to sit at many bargaining tables where classified and certificated leaders of their organizations talk about students so much. It's usually more adult issues, so that's really gratifying for me. our negotiations team, just so you know, was Don, Leilani, Joyce, me, and Community Care Award winner Luann Carlo Magno. Both groups settled for, as well as unrepresented, settled for a total package of 3.4%, and it breaks down a little differently depending on choices that, let's just talk about HTA and CSCA, choices that were made. In brief, HTA had an interest in raising a master's degree stipend and a doctorate stipend to $2,500, one in 2000, the other. In addition, we agreed to raise the fringe benefit contribution from $14,000 to $14,500, which it's sort of an unwritten policy of ours to always make sure at least our employees are covered under a plan. And that adds up to 3.4%. In addition, The HTA is going to be adding psychologists to their unit, and so there will be an ongoing, probably subcommittee type approach to, you sort of have to audit the contract to say what fits, what doesn't, what do we need to add to make sure they fit in well with the agreement. We had some new language about what do we do in terms, in the cases of power outages. We also had a good discussion and a commitment to have temperatures in classrooms that are conducive to effective learning. The term is 23 through 26, so it's a couple more years with reopeners. The big discussion we had in both groups, actually, but it started with CSCA, had to do with leaves of absence. And to put it shortly, I think there was a lot of a heartfelt presentation from the teachers and the classified folks about the state of, I don't know how else to say it, the state of mental health of everybody involved in education these days. And it caused us, I believe, to take a new and different look on the nature of personal necessity leaves and needing time off and the circumstances surrounding how and when you can do that. And we think we did it. It was a big change. We think we did it in a way that at least meets our bottom line interest, is that there will be a qualified, credentialed person in the classroom and qualified, classified staff. So it has to do with notice sufficiently in advance to get people. So that was really a turning point discussion in the HTA negotiations, I thought. And we updated some laws, bereavement leave and family leave. CSEA, again, 3.4% package. CSEA had a twist here. 2.52 salary schedule increase. CSEA historically has had what's called a three-tier benefit system. There's a different dollar amount for employee, employee plus one, and family, whereas HTA has had a composite dollar contribution. And CSEA this year said, we'd like to change to that. We'd like to change to that. And so there was a cost to that plus the then increase to $14,500. And so that was a 0.88, and so that was a 2.52 increase. The other thing that CSEA brought up was what is full-time for purposes of full district contribution to benefits? Because CSEA has more than a few part-time employees. And we agreed that for purposes of health benefits, the district's full contribution will be based on 32.5 regularly assigned hours per week or 6.5 hours regularly assigned per day. So that will raise the district's contribution for a lot of the classified workers, really have a good impact on that. We considered that to be sort of an equitizing, if that's a word, move. It costs money, but because we saw it as a matter of equity, we didn't feel we should need to subtract it from the whole settlement. It was the right thing to do. We also worked on hours and overtime, overnight trips, the personal necessity leave, and some updates in leaves having to do with pregnancy and pregnancy loss. And we have a three-year agreement with CSEA also. I think both negotiations, we enjoyed them, and we feel like we had good outcomes on both sides. So that's my report.
Thank you so much, Greg. Any comments from the trustees? Well, I just wanted to thank both of you for your efforts through this process. I think you know I'm currently working with the Essential Outcomes team to sort of update our outcomes. And so I'm really deep in our Essential Outcomes. And the way that you have negotiated, the way this process happened, is so perfectly aligned with what we value in our district. Empathy, open-mindedness, adaptability, creativity, integrity, listening to understand. So I just thank you for bringing wisdom and humanity and compassion, patience to this process, because it really solidifies and deepens our partnerships that make our district what it is. So thank you both for, I know it was a lot of time and a lot of effort, and we are grateful. Thank you.
Do any members of the public have a comment on this item? I see none. And again, that was an informational item only. So we will now move to item four, our consent agenda. Does any trustee want to pull something from consent?
I'd like to pull item 4.1, the personal action report.
Okay, would any other trustees like to pull anything from consent? Do we have a motion to approve consent agenda item 4.2 to 4.6?
So moved.
We have a second. Thank you. Motion by Don, second by Ann. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Gilbert.
Sure. The reason why I wanted to pull the personal action report this time was because one of the items is the retirement at the end of the school year of Mary Torello from her role as social studies teacher at Crocker. And we don't always have the time or are able to take the time during the meeting, but because of the many items on the agenda today, we managed to squeeze this in. Mary has served our students, families, and community for over 30 years. Both of my kids had her as a teacher while at Crocker. In fact, all of us trustees have had at least one child in her class, which is pretty unique. I recall what was likely my first conversation with Mary. I was leaving Molly Stone with my daughter, and Mary introduced herself to both of us. And I felt I was like a deer in the headlights because I was an uninvolved parent, so I didn't know who she was or recognize her. But she knew that my wife had passed away and my daughter had lost her mom. So she stopped and talked to us. And I don't remember the contents of the conversation, but I remember she took the time to talk to us. And she knew our family situation. And separate from her time as a teacher, I really value Mary as a leader for HTA. I don't view HTA as the union or a bargaining unit, but really as our labor partners. This was really evident when we were trying to figure out what we should do in 2020 to respond to COVID and the pandemic. As the head of HTA during the return to school conversations, Mary contributed to the conversation. She was collaborative. She recognized what was known and what wasn't. She represented the voice and the heart of our teachers. She always kept students at the forefront of the conversations and the decisions. And because we were able to work together, we were among the first schools to return our students to in-person learning after March 2020. I wish Mary well and thank her for her contributions over these many years.
Thank you, Gilbert. Well said, well said. Do any trustees have a comment on this item? Do any members of the public have a comment on item 4.1, the personnel action report? See none. Gilbert, would you like to make a motion?
Yes, I move that we approve item 4.1, the personnel action report.
Second.
Second by Don. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Item 5, public comments for items not on the agenda. Do any members of the public have any comments about something not on tonight's agenda? Excellent. Yes, if you could move to the podium. If you would state your first and last name. Oh, we'll turn it on.
Thank you.
And you have 3 minutes to address the board.
Great, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Members of the board and Superintendent Carl Emanuel, I think I pronounced that right. Thank you. My name is Paul Fetch, and I'm a parent to a second grader at South, an incoming first grader, though I think she was put in kindergarten today, but and I think we'll fix that, and a third future student. As a product of a high-achieving district in the New Jersey public school system, I fully appreciate what a motivated, organized, focused, and academically rigorous district can do for its students. For better or worse, many members of the Hillsborough community have the means to send their children to private schools. But I believe most want a thriving public school system that improves learning outcomes for all and provides a culture of excellence where the gifted are challenged. In light of the recent announcement of the hiring of Ms. D'Arce, I'm searching for some perspective from the board on her credentials around academic achievement. In the email welcoming Ms. D'Arce, I did not notice anything in the achievement section highlighting actual better outcomes for students over the 6 years she was assistant superintendent. Unfortunately, the SF Unified School District, like many systems in urban centers, has suffered poor testing and pass rates since the mid-2010s. In having a chance to review our own district's most recent assessment, I noticed that just 83% of students are exceeding state standards in English and 86% in math. I bring these 2 points, one from Ms. D'Arce's current district and one from our district, forward because I believe one reason many Hillsborough families choose alternative routes to public schools is the perception that academic rigor is not high enough at public schools. While Hillsborough clearly excels relative to lowered state standards, we must be competitive with private schools and must prepare our students for life beyond California. While I understand that the Board of Ed is not obligated to opine on matters decided upon in closed sessions, I would like to understand what the district's goals are for academic achievement improvement, and what Ms. D'Arce is going to do to bring straight B's in state assessment up to A's at a minimum. I want this district to serve as the destination for best-in-class elementary and middle school education. And an important part of that, to me, is consistent and strong academic outcomes. I personally hope to hear much more frequent discussion of the progress by, challenges in, and needs of our district to be that best-in-class system for our children. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comment. Are there any other comments from the public for items not on tonight's agenda? I see none. We'll move to item 6, communications and board item discussions. We do have an item on here, 6.1, the Crocker Middle School June commencement. Keith Rocha.
All right, good evening and thank you for having me. As you know, we have an annual commencement of our students who have achieved and have had a wonderful journey in Hillsborough School District. And so on June 6th at 5 p.m., I'd like to invite our wonderful board members to attend and to pass out awards to those students. So I'd like to just take a minute first and say thank you to all of you for all the work that you do and all the work that you did last year handing out these awards to kids. They find it super exciting and it's really nice to honor all the work that they do. So we have 5 awards and I'd like to know who might like to give these awards out with our esteemed educators. So I'll just list, and if it's easier for you, I can remind you of what you did last year as well.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
I'll start with that.
Yes, please.
Okay. So we have 5 awards. The first award that we typically give out is the Tony Novak Award. I'm not going to give you the descriptions. I think you know what these are at this point. And so last year, Trustee Ann Huang Chin gave that out. Would you like to do that again?
I'd be happy to do it. He was my teacher. But Kim, was he your teacher as well?
Yes, but I would love to give out the Alexa Goldman Award if that's up for grabs.
It sure is. Okay. All right, Tony Novak. Thank you. And all right. So, yes. And then we have the Janet Chun Award as well. Last year, that was given out by Don Geddes, Trustee Don Geddes. Sure. All right. Sounds good. Thank you. We have Alexa Page, Kim. Madam President, I don't have to call you officially.
Please.
You're amazing. Yes. Okay, Kim. We have a Dylan Toma Award as well. Trustee Gilbert Y, you gave that last time.
Sure. Happy to do that.
And then finally, the Kenny Wills Memorial Award was presented by Trustee Greg Dennis. Does that still work for you?
Has to do that.
We could negotiate.
Okay, excellent. Well, That is all I have for tonight. So I just want to say thank you again.
Thank you. Will you maybe send us a list of that? And then will you need our help in passing out diplomas again this year?
Yes, I would love your help in passing out diplomas, similar to like we did last year.
Okay. And I have an 8th grader to hand one to. So.
Yes, you do. And congratulations on that, too.
And Keith, if it helped you, I thought it was helpful to have us at the rehearsal, whoever does the passing out of the diplomas, so the kids just know where to go. So if you can just loop whoever is involved in that.
Mr. McKenzie is in the know. He's okay. In charge. All right, thanks again.
Thank you. Thanks.
Did we want to assign those roles as well? So it's
We don't typically assign those specific roles. You just kind of filter in as far as I remember.
Yeah, go ahead, Luann.
Do the trustees want to know, like, how many do you need to do? I'm kind of looking at Alec.
Four.
Okay.
And usually one shakes the hand of each.
Yeah, usually we have a trustee hands it to a trustee, and the trustee hands it to the student with a handshake and photo.
So I think we probably should clarify. Just yes. So I have done that for 10 years, and if somebody wishes, I'm happy to do it again. But
okay. I'm happy to hand you the
thing. Okay.
Okay.
So Greg and I will be one pair.
One pair.
Okay.
And then Kim wishes to hand out diplomas with a helper.
Sure, I'd be happy to hand out.
I'm happy to help.
Okay, and Gilbert, Anne, are you okay with cheering us on from the sideline?
That's my job.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I think we're set.
All right, sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Keith. Do any trustees have any communication items to share?
I do. Anne? Just wanted to remind everyone that on, I think it's Saturday, from 9 to 12 is the Hillsborough Town Hall at Town Hall Active Attacker Drill.
Sunday,
sorry. So if Marie Chuang texted me today and wanted me to remind everyone to come by on the 21st.
Thank you. Do any trustees have any other communications to share? Okay. We are on item 7, public comments concerning closed session items. Do any members of the public have comments concerning closed session items? I see none. Then we will adjourn the regular meeting at 6:52. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Take a drink to go.